today is found in the Acts of the Apostles, the 8th and the 9th chapter. We began speaking to you last week about Philip, how that Philip went down to Samaria and began to preach Christ unto the people of Samaria. He preached Christ as prophet, priest, and king. He preached him unto these Samaritans who had some knowledge of the coming of the Messiah, and they believed that he was to come. And Philip began to explain how that he had come, and that he had lived, and that he had died, and that he had again ascended up into heaven. These Samaritans, they received the word that Philip spake. They believed, for with what he was preaching, he likewise performed many miracles. Many that were possessed with evil spirits, and some that had palsies and were lame, they were cured. Those that had evil spirits, they were delivered from them. They came out of them with a great cry. These people, they were immediately made sane. They were calm. They were rational. Where before, this spirit had possession of them, and they knew not many times what they were doing. This, what Philip was doing then, proved unto these people that he was a messenger from God unto them. These miracles accompanying the preaching took effect upon the people. This, what took place with these people that had evil spirits, must take place with you and I. We are all possessed with an evil spirit. The devil, he reigns in us by nature. And no one can dispossess him but the Lord Jesus Christ. He went along with the preaching of Philip, and he blessed Philip's ministry also to the hearts of the Samaritans. And so the ministry of the word must be blessed to our souls. Shall this devilish spirit which we all possess be cast out? But when the gospel comes with its power, it takes effect in the heart, and Satan, who reigns in the heart, is dispossessed. He comes out, as it did here. He came out crying with a loud cry. He never leaves his vessel that he has possession of without putting up a battle. And he uses many instruments in this respect. He might use the wife, he might use the husband, he might use children, he might use your very best friend, who will raise up words and a storm against what is taking place within you and try to convince you that you shouldn't go along with something like that. But wherever the Spirit of God has come down into a person's heart and it has taken possession of it, then it must leave that person. The devil must go out. He cannot remain there anymore, for the power of Christ overcomes him. As there were many that had palsies and that were lame, so we all by nature are palsied. We are impotent. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We are unable to do anything towards our own salvation. We are in this respect lame too. We have lost all ability, all power to return back unto God. If you take notice, what this Philip was doing was miraculous. For the people who he delivered from evil spirits, who had palsies, who were lame, were unable to be cured by any help of man. It was God that wrought these miracles. So it is with us. God must work by his Holy Spirit in us. Shall we be made alive from the dead? Shall we likewise, who are palsied and lame, shall we be given to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? It must be his drawing power in us, or otherwise we remain in this state. These people, seeing these miracles and these wonders taking place, were given to believe. They didn't just receive the word historically, but they received it as the word of God in their very hearts. They were moved to believe what Philip spake about Christ was true, and that he had come into this world, and they received the word in much faith. And these people, likewise were filled with joy, for there was much joy in the city. And wherever the gospel comes in its power, there will be joy. The angels sang when Christ was born, and spake unto the shepherds that unto you is given to hear that Christ was born in the city of David, and that this message would be unto the joy of the nations in this world. And this, what these shepherds spake, was being fulfilled in Samaria. And these people were filled with joy, seeing what was taking place in the hearts of sinners, and likewise the miracles that were accompanying the ministry of Philip. Oh, whenever God enters into the soul of a sinner and begins a good work of grace and gives that person some faith to believe that he has a favor towards him or her, all reveals that that person is loved with an everlasting love. And if ever you have this in your life, if ever you receive this, even for a few moments, that you may believe this, who can speak out the joy that such a soul experiences? Oh, this joy is wonderful. It's unspeakable. Do you know anything about my hearers? Have you ever any knowledge of this spiritual joy inwardly, of believing that God loves you, that God has a favor towards you? Why, then you are richer than the richest man or woman in this world. All blessed are they that have received some sign, some intimation of this glory that God has in store for his people hereafter. There was joy then in the city, but there was also in this city a certain man by the name of Simon, who had for a long time bewitched the people by sorcery. He was a person who they respected, who they looked up to. He had given himself out to be some great one. One of the commentaries says he gave himself out to be the Christ, the Messiah. Another one says that he wanted to be worshipped as a great God. He gave himself out to be someone that was great, a prophet, an angel. These people, they were bewitched by his magical arts. He fooled them, he deceived them by lying wonders. And these people held him to be the mighty power of God. From the smallest to the greatest, they all adhered to him. This man then was noted in this city. And therefore, God sent Philip down to this city to break the works of the devil, which were taking place in and amongst the inhabitants thereof. For he was nothing else but a liar. He was a deceiver, this man. His miracles and wonders that he performed were nothing in comparison to what Philip did. For when the people seen what Philip did, they believed it. But when they seen what he had done, it was a sham. They seen that he was an impostor. And even Philip himself, when he seen the wonders that even Simon himself, when he seen the wonders that Philip did, he wondered, he marveled. He wanted to know where that this Philip got this power from to do these things. He was anxious to see if he couldn't get the same power, or did he have another way of doing these things that he didn't know of. This man, Simon, his being so great and being someone, it did not affect the lives of the people in Samaria. He did not change them. He did not speak to them and turn them from their sins and from their iniquities to worship the true God. No, he became someone. He wanted them to worship him. He was God. This was the vast difference between Philip and Simon. And now the people, all believing and seeing these wonders being done, they came to Philip and were baptized, men and women. In other words, Philip, he organized a church here, and the people began to join the church. And now Simon, he likewise believed, it says, and he was baptized also. He became a member of the church. Now that Philip baptized Simon, we know that Simon was a hypocrite, but Philip did not know this. Philip couldn't look into the man's heart, and therefore when he confessed and believed, he accepted him and he baptized him. This is the method of ministers and the method of churches in accepting people. They have to be charitable in this respect. We know not what a person may turn out to be. So with Philip, he knew not what was going on in the heart of Simon. Simon had given himself to be somebody great. He had been worshipped by the people, but now we find Simon at the feet of Philip. He wanted to learn of Philip, to be instructed of Philip. He sat there. He continued with Philip, the scripture says. And now we find that Philip, he had only certain limited powers. But when the people in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had received the word of God and had been baptized, they sent down to Samaria John and Peter. For the people in Samaria had not yet received the Holy Ghost. It had not fallen upon any of them. In those times, when the Holy Spirit came down in a remarkable manner as it did on the day of Pentecost, these people, they were gifted, most of them, with speaking in various tongues. When the person was gifted in this way, then it was that the Holy Spirit had come down upon them. And therefore they sent for John and Peter to come to Samaria. Philip was an evangelist. He could not do this. He had not the power to do this. He had organized a church. He had been blessed under his ministry, but he could not bestow the Holy Ghost upon these people. These gifts were only given unto the apostles, and they were given by the grace of God to pray, and in and through answer to prayer, it was bestowed upon many of those that believed. Therefore, Peter and John came down to the city of Samaria, and they prayed for them, and they laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And these people then began to speak in various tongues. And Simon, when he seen how that the apostles prayed and laid their hands upon these people, and they received the Holy Ghost, he was very anxious to receive that same power. And he offered the apostles money so that he would have that same power, that he could give the Holy Ghost to whomsoever he would. Here we have then this man who was a hypocrite, who was a deceiver, coming out for who that he served. He served the devil. He had joined the church. He believed he had been baptized, but it was not in truth. It had never entered into his heart. He had never believed savingly in the Lord Jesus Christ. He never had any love to God in his heart, this man, Simon. And he was just an outward member of the church, and he joined the church for his own personal reasons, so that he would likewise be someone and receive some of those powers that he seen Philip have, and likewise these apostles. And now he came forward with this as if to think that these men were just like him. For he offered this with that purpose, that if he got this power, he would make money on it. And he thought that the apostles were just like him, that they were men that would accept a bribe, accept money. Why, these men, they had left everything for the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't seeking riches. They weren't seeking to get wealthy. And they were seeking the salvation of immortal souls. And therefore, when this was offered to them, then Peter takes up the word and speaks unto Simon and says unto him, Thy money perish with thee, where thou hast sought to buy these things with money, as if he could purchase this power by offering what he did. He was told that his money in him would perish, and that he should pray to God that God would forgive the thought of his heart. For Peter says, I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Peter looked right through this man. Peter seen right away what he was. And Peter spake unto him boldly and fearlessly. This sin that this man committed was likewise almost the sin of the Holy Ghost. It was similar to Ananias and Sapphira, the way that they likewise came, and Peter spake unto them. And now Peter spake unto this man in a similar manner. But Peter spake to him that he should pray unto God and repent of this his sin. Peter had sinned very greatly. He had denied his own Lord and Master, and he had found forgiveness. And here he presents even to this man that he should pray and ask for the forgiveness of his sins. Oh, if we have experienced something like this, by the grace of God, we could wish that every sinner, irrespective of how great his sins may be, that he would pray and ask God to forgive his sins. Oh, may each and every one listening to me be given to repent and to pray to God that he may forgive your sins, even but the thoughts of your heart. How far then is sin in our hearts, our thoughts? Even those, they are sins. Oh, how many have evil and wicked thoughts within and never do the things that they think, and still they are sins in the sight of God. We even have to pray for the sinful thoughts that come up in us, and that God would freely forgive them, as he spake here, Peter, to this man, Simon. And now Simon, he prayed that the apostles would pray for him. All you see in this, my hearers, that he did not have true repentance. He was told to do this, but if it had been true with him and it had come home to him what Peter had said, why, he would have fell down at the feet of Peter and he would have said, Oh, what a sinner I am. Oh, what have I done against God and against Jesus? But there was none of this in this man. He didn't fall down before Peter with a true confession of sins, but he asked Peter and John to pray for him. We don't read that Peter or John did pray for him. They left him in that state in which he was in. They likewise did not lay their hands upon him when they came down, that he should receive the Holy Ghost, although he had joined the church and was given out to be a believer. No, he had not received this Spirit of God, or he sure would have came to true repentance. And now the apostles, after laboring amongst the Samaritans, returned back to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in various cities through which they went. And now we find Philip laboring in Samaria. He was richly blessed there. Oh, he had a flourishing church. He had many people belonging to his church. And he was well liked by the Samaritans. But now an angel of God came to him and told him to go down on the way which leadeth from Jerusalem to Gaza. He was then told to go to this road which led from these two places, and on this road it was desert. There was nothing there. He had to leave a flourishing church. He was a blessed instrument in the hands of God in turning the Samaritans to the faith. And now he had to leave. It was mysterious to him. Many questions probably rose up in his mind. Why did God want him to go down on this way? And it was desert. There was no city there. There was no people there. People traveled along this road. But why go down into this desert? I'm sure this must have come up in him. About obedience, the angel came. God sends his angels sometimes to his servants to speak unto them, to direct them in the way that they should go. They are ministering servants, as the Bible teaches us, unto the heirs of salvation. And now Philip left Samaria. You may be sure that the people were very much attached to him and hated to see him go, and he probably didn't like to go either, but obedient to his heavenly sender, he went down to this road. And here he was walking on this road, probably wondering why did he have to be here. But now the scripture says, and there was a man from Ethiopia, a man of great authority under the Queen Candace, and he had charge of all her treasure, and he had been up to Jerusalem to worship, and he was coming back along this road. Now this man, he was a great man back in Ethiopia. He was a colored man. He was a black man. It appears from historians that the Queen of Sheba, when she had went up to visit Solomon, she had went back into her own country, and she had been blessed by God to speak about the God of Israel, who Solomon worshipped and served. And from that time on, there was some knowledge in this land of the true God. The historians say that this man was a descendant from this queen. His ancestors had likewise been given to know the true God. And in the midst of all the idolatry of this country, this man worshipped the true God. And he had heard of Jerusalem. He had heard of the temple. And he had such a longing and such a desire to go up to this temple to see and to meet the God of Israel in this place. Although he was so wealthy and he had so much that he had to do under this queen, he still made preparations for this journey. He set his work aside for the time, and he went up to Jerusalem to worship God. How many, my hearers, have such a desire in their hearts as this Ethiopian had? Oh, how many never enter into the house of God or even into a temple to worship God? Millions of people in our beloved country pay no attention to religion, to God, or to his word, or to his commandments. We see that around about us. And there are thousands upon thousands likewise who have been brought up as a child and have been taught and have been given likewise to come up to the house of worship. When they become older and get married, they drift away and they never anymore enter into the house of God. Oh, how sad it is that there are so many in this respect that despise God and his word and his worship. But wherever God may plant the seed of his word, even in your youth, we know not when God might come back to that seed. We have many experiences of this in books, how that people have went away, and God has brought back sometimes something that they heard when they were a child. And this brought them to their knees, brought them to the feet of God. And this man likewise, he made a great journey all the way from Ethiopia, which was in Africa, which at the present time is called Abyssinia. He went up from that country all the way to Jerusalem to worship the true God. He was a proselyte to the Jewish religion. He had nothing against the Jews, although he was an Ethiopian and he was black. He traveled all that distance, and when he got to the Jerusalem and went into the temple, oh, he wasn't so filled with awe and amazement. It made no impression upon him, we may believe, because these priests and these Pharisees that were there at that time, they did not speak as Philip or as any of the apostles did. They were still under the law, and they were still teaching the law. And therefore, this man, he came away from the city of Jerusalem, and probably he was discouraged. Probably he was thinking, well, I haven't met God, and I haven't learned too much about this God of Israel here. But it did not so much discourage him that he didn't read his Bible anymore. This happens too in life. Some people, they're anxious to learn about religion. They like to come up to the church. They like to be instructed. But after they've been there, they become careless. They become indifferent. And soon, they lay their Bible aside and they forget all about it. Not with this man. He was going back and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. They had no Bibles like I have in my hand at that time. They only had rolls of parchment. And on these rolls, they would have one prophet. And he was reading the prophecy of Isaiah. It was a habit that they read out loud. Now, this is a good habit, my hearers. As a Bible class teacher, I would instruct you to read out loud. You retain much better what you read. Because if you just read to yourself and you don't speak the words out, it's soon gone. The same when you pray. This is an instruction I would give you. If you go in secret and you get on your knees and you pray and you don't pray speaking with your mouth, many times you get so confused you don't even know what you're saying. It's better to speak the words out. Then your mind is with it. And many times it pleases God to bring your heart with it. Now, this is just a little instruction from your Bible class teacher, which I have found necessary in my own life. Now, this man, he read the Bible out loud. And now Philip, he's walking along this way, and he sees in the distance this chariot coming. When this man traveled, he was a wealthy man. He had a lot of attendants with him. There were many around about this chariot that went before, that went on the side, and that were behind. They protected this individual because it was very dangerous to travel. As you know, today, it's wonderful to travel. In no time, you can be in almost any place in the world. So it wasn't the time that this Ethiopian went. He went up in a chariot. He went up with a couple of mules pulling this chariot before him. And this is the way that he went all the way from Africa to Jerusalem. It took him a long time. Today, in one day, sometimes you could be at the other end of the world. How easy it is today to travel. At those times, it was very dangerous, too, and much preparation was necessary to make such a journey. And many times they were attacked by bandits and thieves and stripped of everything that they had. Therefore, they took attendance with them. And now Philip seen this chariot coming in the distance. And now the Spirit came. And the Spirit says unto Philip, "Run here, run ye alongside of this chariot." Oh, my hearers, what a blessing for Philip. He had listened to his heavenly sender who had sent him down this road. And there he was walking along this road, and now the Spirit says to him, "Run alongside of that chariot." It's nice when God comes and says to a person, "Do this or do that," then you know what to do.